Hi there, members, and welcome to this Sunday live session of The Club. Let's get stuck straight into things. As always, we've got a busy time on our hands today. I'm going to put here share computer sound because I do have something to play you, which I hope you would like. And Alice has put through a message to me because I asked her a question before about whether we are enjoying the twice a week for an hour each time or if it's too much. I get to watch twice a week mostly, but I miss Sunday sometimes due to family commitments. Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I think a lot of people may catch up on one or both, but not always both all the time. Thank you, Al. So on the Trello board, we go to today's live session card, and we've got this list of things to do. The very first thing is just to remind you of the daily focus. And if you scroll down, you've been receiving these emails every morning. I hope that's been helpful for you. And the daily focus is de-stress while you etch. This was a blog that I wrote some time ago, and it just spoke about one of the very good things that we can all do, and we know about this as well, is to maintain a lower level of stress throughout the day by regularly having some deep breaths going on. And that's breathing in. I think it's breathing in for a few seconds, 4 seconds or something, and then holding it for 4 to 6 seconds and then slowly releasing it again as well. And if you click on the link there, and this will come out with the morning daily focus for you as well, this link, you will see the blog that I wrote about this. And so we'll just discuss the benefits of it, because I think an ideal time to do this is while you etch. So while you're waiting for the etch to do its 10 seconds rather than just gazing up at the clock, maybe you and the dental assistant can sit there and do the whole and de-stress while you etch. So that link is there. I hope you're going well with that. We'll tick that off just as a little reminder for you. De-stress while you etch. The next thing I wanted to mention was I'm going to be reminding you about this for the whole month of July, so you'll probably get sick of me mentioning it, but it's the discount code for foundational members for the club. This 3-month free membership to the club, it's been such a joy to do, and I've loved the involvement of all of the members that are actively involved in participating in the board and on the Facebook group and via email. Once August hits, the free version will cease, but all of the foundational members, that's for all the people that have been with us on this journey, you continue to enjoy a heavy discount. So 50% discount on the $497 monthly membership fee. And if we scroll down here, you will see foundational member discount code. It is the word foundation. And if you enter in that foundation word as a discount code, when you sign up in August, it will be relevant for August, September, and October, and it's half price. So we'll continue to remind you about that, especially when we lead up to the 1st of August, because as of the 1st of August, you know, from the days in the first early days of August is when I'd love everyone to jump on board and maintain membership. I hope you're getting as much joy out of it and value out of it that I presume and that I hope and plan for you guys to have, and I hope you feel my enthusiasm for the club itself and the benefits that it can provide to your team and your practice. The next thing I wanted to mention was George, one of our members, sent me through a video, and it was a tremendous video that a practice in Canada had done, and let me quickly show it to you. I've got the link here. And this video was just aimed at patients during this COVID-19 situation. And we asked the question, I wonder if we can generate this within Canva. I've always used Canva just for imagery, but now they offer video work as well. And so I want to quickly show you this. It will come up very soon. And so we have discovered that, yes, we can actually indeed use Canva. And I've already done up a mock video at one of the practices that I consult at regularly. And I've got their permission. They were happy for me to use it. Get rid of my family message there.
In the community and the things that...
Just make the screen a bit bigger so you can get the full benefit from it.
You do when you come to the dentist here at Club Dental. When you come in, the first thing that we'll ask you to do is to grab some hand sanitizer and have a hand wash. And then after we've done that, we run you through everything just the same way as we ordinarily would. The only difference is when you go into the dental room and we sit you down, we'll get you to have a rinse with a antiviral rinse. Everyone's doing that for about 20 seconds. And beyond that, we're going to avoid handshaking and keeping social distancing as best.
So you can see what I mean by that video. It's very engaging. It doesn't need to be perfect. Everything for videos need to be perfect. You can even hear the receptionist printing something in the background. But I do like the way that you've got graphics around the video, and that it's a nice relaxed presentation, a friendly presentation, and that it shows him going ahead, doing the mouth rinse, doing the hand wash as well. So I thought I'd play around with this idea and get a demo video happening for it. So let me show you what I've done. And I've done it within Canva. You'll see here. Within Canva, it was very good. The video itself was larger, but I could resize the video very easily. So it just filled up the space that I wanted it to fill up. Somerville Family Dental Care is one of my clients. They've been a client for 5 years now. They are a glorious bunch of people. And wonderfully, they gave me full permission to use it, to make this video at their location and then use it as part of the club as well. And so let me show you. The other thing as well, you'll hear, it allowed me also to overlay music in the background as well. I always find that music does generate some sort of emotional response, no matter how small. And so whenever you can use music with these sort of things, I think it's a positive. So this is the video itself. Move back to the start. Here we go.
Hi there, it's Julie, the practice manager of Somerville Family Dental Care. And I thought I'd quickly touch base with everyone, just so you know of a few different things we're doing here in terms of infection control to make sure that during this COVID-19 situation, you're safe, our patients are safe, as well as the rest of the public. When you organise an appointment time, we'll be asking you whether you've been doing any travel or been exposed to the virus at all. Also, whether you have any symptoms of cold or flu. We are trying to make sure only people who know they're 100% healthy come into the practice. Once you're in, you'll notice that we've got our hand sanitizer, which you'll be well used to by now. Also, in the waiting room, we're making sure that everyone is social distancing and remaining a metre and a half apart. But we do prefer it if you come into the car park and then call us and let us know you've arrived. We'll let you know whether you can come straight on in. Maybe there's already a couple of patients here and we'll get you to wait in the car instead and then come and collect you when the time is right. The other thing you'll notice is that we've got our shields here to protect both you and Joy, our receptionist, and our other reception staff as well. And then once we've taken you through to the surgery, social distancing isn't needed in there because we've got gloves and masks. What you've learned is called the PPE. But once you leave, that's when our dental nurses wipe down all of the surfaces inside the surgery, in the waiting room, front door, and bathroom area as well. We do that in between every patient just to make sure everyone is safe. Thank you so much for all of your support during this period. Hopefully we'll get back to normal soon. But if you have any questions, please do contact us. We are available for all range of treatments now and they can get done very successfully and safely at the time that's convenient for you. I look forward to seeing you soon. Bye.
An effective video. I'm going to post it on, of course, their Facebook page. It can also go on people's website. Once I took the video from the Canva editing thing, granted that I've used Canva a lot and I use these sort of programs a lot, it took me about maybe 15 minutes to get that all complete. There are templates already in there that you can utilize and all the rest of it. So it doesn't need to be a long, laborious process at all. And to help you out with it, I have got, if we go to today's live session card, And beside the, I'll pop this in here. Bring this down here. You will see that there is a Trello card for Hero for Patients right here. And you'll see here the how-to for this video will be posted by the end of day today. I ran out of time to do it before today's live session. So it's getting done this afternoon. And there's the video itself that you can have a look at. And if you see other video tutorials, it's right there. Canva for Video for Patients. So I hope that has been helpful for you. Thank you so much, George, for bringing that one to my attention. It's such an awesome thing to and useful to see what other practices are doing, especially in other parts of the world. Because then, it's, you know, if you are copying a few bits and pieces, it's not so obvious and they can't find out about it. But the things that other people are doing that have tweaked you is a really great idea. See if you can adapt it straight into your practice immediately. It certainly can be very helpful in terms of communication with patients when it comes down to video, because they're very engaging. You can bring across your friendliness and likability as well. And you keep it in mind that when it's the written word, we only absorb about 5% of that message. But when we've got a video, we've got voice, tone, modulation, volume, we've got the friendliness, the way that we actually speak and engage with people. If we're looking directly down that camera lens, they can really feel it themselves and the message comes across much more obviously and engaging. So I think they're fantastic. Have you done all those bits? The next step in today, we're going very well to time considering I thought I had too many things on for today, is a member contribution from our last live session. It was posted onto the agenda. I'm not quite sure actually who did. So hopefully I'm answering the query with this session for that member. Please let me know if you are that member that I've missed the mark in any way. I want to make sure that that query is addressed for you because it's a really important one. This is what they wrote. A script. Patients will now be seeing the hygienist / oral health therapist for further recall active maintenance appointments instead of the dentist. How do we convince patients who have been only ever seeing the dentist up until now? This is a topic of high relevance. More and more practices all the time are adopting the services of a hygienist. And the practices that do have a hygiene program and many consultants do say that if it's done effectively, it can become a crucial part of the growth of your practice. So let's have a look at it. I've got slightly different thinking to many of the advice that's going on out there at the moment. So let me just go down the path of that. I want to go to the card that I've produced for it and step you through my thinking. Here's a document that I've attached to it. And within the document itself, actually I'll open up the actual Word version of it here, it's just right here. Within my thinking, I have absolutely come from the patient perspective. And as we mentioned last time, which I'll repeat in case you don't remember this or you didn't see it, it's a big ask for patients because we're saying not only will you not be seeing the dentist that you trust, you'll be seeing someone brand new who you don't trust and don't even know. We'll also be making you stay here for longer for your cleaning, probably double the length of appointment time. And on top of that, we're going to charge you more. So from those elements, the patient will be thinking, there is nothing in it for me. It's all bad news for me at the moment. And it's all making me feel a little bit quack. And keep in mind that the minute we're making people feel disengaged or confused or overwhelmed or in a way that they don't understand, they won't be on board with what we're talking about. I've had that in my mind when I've been constructing this. I know the traditional hygiene program is the patient comes in, they go into the hygienist room. I'm going to stop sharing for the moment because I've got funny things happening on the screen there while it's trying to load. All these people on the internet nowadays, slowing me down. The traditional thing is the patient goes through the hygiene room, the hygienist performs a cleaning, and then at some point, the dentist comes in and performs the examination itself. In order to do that, the dentist must disengage from their current patient, interrupt paid time that current patient is paying for, and leave them And then they go in, they haven't got time to really build strong rapport with the patient because it's all the examinations seem to be spliced in between and during equipment times. And so they don't want to keep their other patient waiting too long because obviously and understandably, that patient will start getting upset if it goes on for too long. And so the rapport isn't developed strongly enough and the examination doesn't happen for long enough where that patient, the hygiene patient, seems satisfied that it's a thorough examination. This is all generalizations that I'm making. If there are dentists and hygienists that are doing it differently and really effectively out there, I would love to know it because I haven't been I haven't been exposed to so many hygiene programs that I presume to know how all of them work. This is just from the experience that I've had to date. And I'm sure there's plenty that are doing it great. And if you let me know what they are, then that just helps everybody else become more educated around how to do it really well. So the dentist goes in for 10 minutes for the examination and then whips out again, goes back in and tries to re-establish whatever rapport and engagement they had developed already with their existing patient. The thing that I've noticed as a receptionist with these sort of hygiene programs is that the patient will come out. My usual thing and what I say to dental receptionists should be the usual thing is to run through all the treatments that were done today and the price. So today, we did your examination today that was $75 and we did the hygiene program that was $230. And quite often enough to become concerned about it, the patient will say, $70, the dentist was only in there for a couple of minutes. Now, when patients say that, that indicates that we are not providing enough value in the patient's eyes to warrant the financial outlay that we are requiring them to pay. And we need to listen to that because that can only happen so often before the patient starts asking around friends and family, what happens at your practice? I don't think I'm being treated properly. I think I might go somewhere else. And a very small portion of these patients will actually ring you and say, just to let you know, I'm a little bit unhappy with things and so I'm deciding to go somewhere else and give you the chance to rectify that situation. Usually the only way you would know is that you've got a request for records by another dental practice. And even that doesn't happen all the time. Because if you were a loyal patient for a long time and then you decided to sneak off and go somewhere else, you may not want to make it so obvious to the old practice that you were leaving because you don't like confrontation, you just want to be polite, you just want to get on with your life, you don't need harassment of you possibly ringing and saying, I'm so sorry, we didn't make you happy, what can we do to try to entice you back into our practice again? So whenever a patient does mention something that's a concern, if it's one patient, I agree, that's not evidence enough quite often. If you see relevance in what they've got to say and reasonableness in what they have complained about, definitely take it on board. But as Charles Covess says all the time, this planet is filled with weirdos. And every now and again, you do come across people that are extremely difficult to please, maybe have quite outlandish expectations of how to be treated when they come to a practice. And so when you've got queries and complaints that come in and they're just singular and they come from somebody who is a little bit tricky, then sure, maybe not pay as much attention to that. But if 2, 3, 4 plus people complain about the same thing, open your ears up and listen to them and respond in terms of adjustment and modification of your systems. Otherwise, very quickly, you'll start creating a big divide between you and your patients. This is the way we like to do things. Yeah, but the market doesn't want it and they're the ones who are paying all the bills. So you've got to make sure that you are quite aligned with your patient base, with your market, in order to maintain the longevity of your patients. And it's your longevity of your patients that will help build a very long-term successful practice. So that is a complaint that I've heard on a regular basis from a receptionist and seeing the goings-on at the reception area. So be mindful of that. So because of that, I'm going to share my screen again. Hopefully all my Word document has come back up to normal again. Because of that, and because I really don't, the minute one person's paying for your time, It's like me coming out and consulting at your practice and then taking phone calls from other clients throughout the day. You would be thinking, no, I'm paying for your time right now. So right now, you are in my corner right now. Don't be distracted by everybody else. They're not paying you for this moment. I'm paying you for this moment. And it's legitimate for patients to expect the same devoted attention to them while they have you in the surgery. So I don't like the process of a dentist disengaging and walking out and then coming back in again. I know that you may design it in a way that you think it flows very nicely, but do a survey with your patients to make sure that it actually is okay for them, that they are comfortable with your process. Because I can't imagine, as a busy person who's got lots of stuff on, I mean, even when I got my hair done the other day, you're like, God, I hope I don't muck around and just and leave the conditioner on for too long or the treatment on for too long. I've got things to do. And so there are many reasons why a patient can become unhappy with making their appointment time with you longer than it needs to be or interrupted. So patient conversion from dentist, scale and clean to a hygiene program. The key ideas are hygienists to deliver high value, and that can be delivered in many ways because they're going to be there for longer and they're being charged more and it's different to what they know. So the way a hygienist can deliver high value is to make sure they are providing a patient allotment of time in patient in terms of this isn't rushed, we're going to take our time, I'm going to make sure you're really comfortable, more comfortable than possibly you were with the standard cleanings. You're going to feel that you, by the end of this cleaning, that you have had devoted attention, important attention paid to your mouth. Maybe you're walking away with more in your little recall hygiene bag. It's actually customized for you. You know, I'm going to get the bag. It's not going to already be filled with things. I'm going to get the bag for you. And for you, I'd suggest this type of brush head. I'm going to put that in there. And I think for you, the Sensodyne rather than the Colgate sample toothpaste, pop that in there. And for you, I think some Pixters, but you know, we determined that we like the pink ones. And so pink ones fit for you, so there's some of that. And so you customise each bag just for them. So we do need to make sure that they are getting greater value because they're paying more and spending more time with you. And I know that there is absolutely school for thought that you're spending more time with us, therefore it costs more. That's legitimate, absolutely. But we're not talking about spending more time getting a longer massage. We're talking about being open and maybe having a tender cleaning being done. And so it's not always the best thing that they just double check actually something. I just realised that I don't have the mic in front of me. Can anyone hear me really, really well? Yeah, I've got the USB mic. Let me just grab it. This may or may not make it more audible for you. Let me know if it's good or bad. Share screen again. Also, what's in it for me? Now, WIIFM, for those that don't know what this means, it's what's in it for me. It's all around sales and marketing, and you've got to really get to the what's in it for me as quickly as possible. There was an interview with Sarah somebody or other. She's the one that has developed that empire around Spanx in America, and she was being interviewed on a Tony Robbins event, and she had previously done door-to-door sales and cold calling sales. And Tony Robbins asked her the question, what was one of the most important things you learned during your direct sales training and career? And she said, it made me realize how quickly I had to get to people's what's in it for me. That if I didn't get to that quickly enough, they would disengage and become quite uninterested in what she had to say. So what you don't want is to go into a ramble of all the benefits of hygiene, all the description around your hygiene program first without first identifying what's in it for that patient and make it customized for that patient. What's in it for me for a patient that just has gingivitis would be quite different to one that has periodontitis. We're talking about
controlling bad breath and being, you know, having nice tight gums that don't bleed compared with not actually losing your teeth eventually and not getting tooth mobility and spaces appearing in between your teeth. So the conversation is quite different. And this is part of what I wanted to intimate to you as well. I don't want you to think that everything hangs on this one communication. You've got your patients for a long period of time. Fingers crossed. That's the plan, that they're here for a long time. And I mentioned in the live session with Charles last Sunday that it's like when you have a child in front of you that refuses to eat their greens and you're trying to get them to eat the broccoli. And you encourage and you educate and you force, you do whatever you can to get that child to eat the broccoli. And if you thought that was the only chance you ever had to get that child to eat the broccoli, you probably would force feed it down their throat. But you don't just have that one chance. You've got every dinner for days and weeks and months to try to encourage that child to eat their vegetables and do what you know to be right for themselves, to help them make the right decisions for themselves. It's a long process. It's a long relationship. You've got multiple opportunities and you have exactly the same with your patients. So communicate with them with the intention to educate and lead them towards the hygiene program. But if they put resistance up, don't sacrifice the relationship you've already got with them just to try to get them in the book at the next recall. Recognize some people will take up on the idea straight away. They like you, they see you as an authority figure, and they'll do what you advise them to do. However, others need to be convinced. Others are very resistant no matter what someone tells them to do. They're in that mindset of don't tell me what to do. I just like to do what I know. I don't like change. And so it's going to be more of a process for some people. So I don't want you to be so pushy that your hygiene program both doesn't work because you'll have patients booked in there that aren't convinced about the booking and will late cancel or FTA, or find coming to your practice too difficult now. Like, I must see the hygienist and I just want to see the dentist now. And all of a sudden you're repelling your valuable, valuable patients. So keep in mind that it's a process, and there's possibly something to be said that you may never convince every one of your patients, and that's okay, that there's just a small handful that you do the cleanings for because you prefer to do that than lose them. So get to the what's in it for me for patients quickly, and you can only find out what's in it for the patient by having them in the chair and identifying what oral conditions are going on in their mouth at the moment. Also, that idea around that I mentioned last time on to describe the area that they describe the idea that the dentists are there for, they're in a mindset of repair and reconstruction. They're looking for problems to repair or reconstruct. Where hygiene is all about prevention. We've got sealants going on, cleanings going on, oral hygiene going on, diet advice going on, if we're allowed to give diet advice. I know that a doctor in New Zealand, I think it was New Zealand, got in trouble for telling his diabetic patients what to eat because he wasn't a dietitian. So let's hope we can still give diet advice as a dentist and as a hygienist and oral health therapist. So if you are trying to educate the patient as to why the dentist is no longer going to be doing the cleanings and why the hygienist, that's a whole role within itself that there's separate training for. Maybe that's a helpful thing for a patient to try to understand. Oh yeah, repair and reconstruction, and we're prevention over here. I get that. Sometimes you know, we need to provide that structure for patients. So it gives them a framework with which they can relate to and then understand what's going on. So this is the process that I suggest. And as a little disclaimer there, I know that other consultants and practices suggest a different process. And if they're wildly successful, take their advice. However, the following is a method that I am more comfortable with. Pre-book the dentist exams into your books for 15 to 30 minutes after the hygiene visit. When we talk about pre-booking your appointment book, it's just putting times aside for key things. Sometimes people will pre-book their whole schedule. I will see this many new patients a week, this many recalls, this many crowns will happen in a month, this many root canals will happen in a month, or this many implants will happen every couple of months. And we put times aside for all of that. There are a number of benefits for that, which we'll go through at a future live session. What I suggest, whether you pre-book or not, is at the very least pre-book dentist exams, because what I want the dentist, sorry, the patient to go through to the surgery with the dentist, with the hygienist. The hygienist does her work and then the dentist comes in at the end and performs the examination with the assistance of the hygienist, talking about what she had discovered, what they had discussed, any concerns, any conditions that need to be raised. I took a photo of this, an intraoral photo of this, I took an x-ray of that. And I don't want the patient to get up and move from surgery to surgery. And I want it pre-booked in the dentist. So the hygienist is going to have their set days. They're going to have 50-minute or 60-minute blocks throughout the whole day. So it's the dentist book that responds with that and says, these are the times examinations occur because these are the times the hygienist is seeing patients. So the hygienist sees a patient from 9 to 9:45, and from 9:45 to 10, that's the block, that's the pre-scheduled block the dentist has in their schedule to see a patient exam. This way, a dentist is never interrupting a current treatment. This way, the hygienist is clearing everything away so the dentist can do a thorough examination without any tartar, plaque, debris getting in the way. There may be some bleeding gums. That's an issue, I'm sure. Maybe you want to do it the other way around, but this is, I just figure that bleeding gums, it's easy to get rid of blood than it is to get rid of plaque and tartar to be able to see where everything's at. While the dentist is in that room performing the examination, his dental assistant is getting the next patient into the surgery, bib on, having a chat, what music do you like to listen to? I know you like to get a neck pillow happening. What do you want to watch on the screen above? Getting, you know, this is what we're planning for today. Is that all groovy with you? And getting some prep work done. And so when the dentist is finished with the examination, they just come bouncing straight into the surgery. Way to go. Let's go forward with the treatment. And we're not losing a couple of minutes with that. Let's get the patient in. Also, with the next changeover, while the dentist is then in the surgery doing the next examination, that dental assistant then has the 15 to 30 minutes, depending on what your dentist would like, allocated for that examination. The closer you are to around the 20-minute mark, I think the better. I think we need to give them a quality amount of time that will allow for diagnosis, discussion, advising of the ideal, and leave them back with the rest of the hygienist again. They can do a bit of a patient advocate role then on whatever the dentist has suggested. This is why the dentist suggested it. These are the appointment time lengths. This is the quotation. This is what your rebates will be. Let's move forward with the appointment booking. But while that's all while the dentist is in there, the dental assistant has time to do her steri, her room set up and change over, as well as the hygienist steri from the previous patient as well. So that also ties in very nicely. You may decide to have two surgeries fully kitted out. So there's just a bouncing between the two rooms. So while the hygienist does the hygiene, the dentist comes in, does the examination, then the dental nurse is taking the next patient through, or you may have a hygiene room and a dentist room. It will be up to you guys on how you want to structure the physicality around the surgeries themselves. At the start, when your hygienist program is just starting, you will have the affordability or the luxury of time. So I want those appointment times to be 50 to 60 minutes to get the full treatment done. But also, where have I got written down? I've got it written down a bit further down, I think. Oh, there, patients to have longer. Look at these terrible spelling mistakes. Initially, while they've got the time, so they can properly educate these patients that are new to a hygiene program all about perio, gingivitis, oral hygiene technique, diet, all the rest of it. You've got the time to spend even more so describing and setting the scene for a long-term relationship with that patient where they're really seeing the benefit, the what's in it for me, coming to the hygienist every 6 months, and you don't have a battle every 6 months that, oh, I've got to see the hygienist again. No, they want you. They get the benefits. They understand why it's crucial. For a new hygiene program to start seeing, I don't say suggest it to everybody. I think everyone's too different in their space to and their understanding of a hygiene program to all jump on board. And so I think why not start with definitely all your new patients? That's just the way we do things here. You're a new patient to the practice. This is the way we work. This is the way we roll, as they say. So I think all new patients can just start seeing the hygienist straight away. The perio-prone patients, after advisement of the dentist, absolutely. You'll have a pocket of patients that you think, they really do need more than just the average cleaning here. They need some more care and attention. They need to improve their oral hygiene big time. So all of those patients, absolutely. I've got a couple of scripts later on that will help you out. The patient who requested after seeing your promotions, once you've got a hygiene program, promote the hell out of it. You know, go on your website, on your Facebook page, email your patients, send them a link via SMS to their phones for your website page describing this is a new thing that we've got going on here. And so you may have people saying, I actually used to see a hygienist years ago. I loved it and I prefer it. So yeah, book me in next time. Younger patients who are likely to have heard or have experienced hygienists in the past, it's a challenge to say to a 60-year-old who's only ever had regular cleanings, it's a challenge to try to get them to flip and change. They just want to come and have the same experience. Don't change things randomly. But younger people, they're a bit more flexible and they go with the flow. They've likely seen a hygienist in the past and they likely have friends that have seen hygienists. And so they're more open to the idea. As I say, dedicate a website page to your hygiene program that is populated with the benefits, the what's in it for me, all the reasons why it's good for patients, a video of the hygienist so they can see, oh, she's friendly. She seems very caring and gentle. I think I'll go along with that. Perio and gingivitis education. If they understand the ramifications of having perio, untreated perio, they will be banging down your door, surely, for hygiene visits. So you can also refer the current new patients to this site as well when you're having discussions with them. So if it's a new patient, they say, gee, I haven't seen a hygienist before. It's like, oh, it's wonderful. This program that we have is so successful. Let me send you through the link. I'll email you through the link so you can have a look at what actually happens and why we do it. And when you're talking to your current patients about it, why they particularly would benefit from the hygiene program. Again, you can say, I'm going to send you through a link that will provide even further information around the benefits the hygiene program will have on your oral health. Also, ensure all your staff, of course, are very familiar with the rebates, item codes, and all the rest of it, making sure that the patient's getting as much benefit from their health funds as they possibly can. Definitely role play your process and scripts out. That's where you identify where the barriers are. That's where you identify what works well and what could be improved. And that's where you get the experience, the practice of saying it again and again. Through practice, it'll come out very naturally and confidently. Use a mystery shopper to provide important feedback and ideas as well. And survey your existing patients who you do transition to make sure it is working well for them. So you can find out if there are little areas that require improvement to make sure everything goes along smoothly. A couple of the scripts that I'm going to populate this all a little bit more so. But at the moment, I've got a couple of scripts here that may help you out. For new patients that ring up, yes, it would be my pleasure to arrange an initial appointment time with us. Our usual process is to have you first see Gemma, eye hygienist, for your cleaning. This takes about 50 minutes. Then you'll meet Dr. Smith, who will be performing a full oral examination of your mouth. What time and day is good for you? So you just present it as this is the way things are done. You don't say, is that okay that we go down this path? You say, this is our path. What day and time is good for you? If they are resistant, I've never seen a hygienist before. I was hoping just the dentist would get everything done at the one appointment time. What about this? I understand that you were hoping to simply see the dentist for both your checkup and cleaning. We have developed our hygiene program because the health of the supporting tissues of the teeth, that's the gums and the bone, they play such a crucial role in the health of your mouth. It would actually be negligent of us to ignore it. I will send you a link to our website though, because it provides a heap of interesting information about this. But in the meantime, I'm happy to book you in with Dr. Smith for both the examination and a basic cleaning. What time and day suit you best? Once this patient's part of your practice, experiences how friendly you are, loves the surrounding, loves the way you do things, your level of customer service, you've made it compelling for them to remain with you, then you can start to try to shift their belief, shift their thinking and conform to the way you want to do things. If you insisted at this very early stage, this is the way we do it, and bad luck, you don't get a booking otherwise, they will go somewhere else. So don't risk it. You've got time. It's broccoli. You've got time to educate them, to help them see the benefits, to discuss the ramifications of not getting anything done down this path. So take your time with it. It's going to happen after a few appointment times, possibly a few communications. Existing patients, Sally, I've now finished the examination. I'm going to perform our usual cleaning on your teeth now. But when I sit you up, I would like to have a chat with you about the benefits of seeing our hygienist more routinely for future cleanings. I've been noticing over the last visits, I've been noticing over your last visits, there are areas such as here and here where you've got quite a bit of bleeding gums and it doesn't seem to be resolving with the cleanings that you're currently getting done. I think you are actually at the stage where you need a bit more of a comprehensive cleaning called that's part of our hygiene program. And I think that will be needed in order for you to maintain good overall oral health. But I'll talk about that more when you sit up. And then you have that education discussion with them. But as I say, I'll populate all of that more. It will continue being added to the Trello card, the pertinent relevant Trello card, which is establish your new hygiene program. If you want to have updates with that, just add yourself as a member to that card. I'm going to drag it into doing because we're doing it. And what we're doing next is tracking key performance indicators. I've got just over 15 minutes. I've got 18 minutes to do that in. But there is a, we're going to be also doing a doing session on this as well. So let's go to track and key performance indicators. When we're talking about identifying areas of the practice that are working well and areas that need to have some attention paid to them. When we're talking about new practitioners coming on board and whether they're being effective and performing well or not. When we're talking about our existing systems for the customer service, the experience that we provide patients, marketing, the type of patients we're appealing to when we're marketing, there are so many areas that we use a lot of guesswork in. We think that track and key performance indicators would take a long time, but I assure you, when you start recognizing the benefit, seeing the benefit of having those key performance indicators, that's the sole motivation you need to spend a little bit of time every month tracking them. So I track key performance indicators for 3 practices every month, and each practice it would take me about an hour. Once you've got a routine, it's more straightforward. So let's go through for people who don't know what KPIs are or key performance indicators are, these are methods of measuring performance of a system, of the performance of a human being that's working at your clinic. And I'm going to go through the key performance indicators that I suggest that every practice track, and then you'll get to get a real firm idea of what they are. First one is monthly turnover. So monthly turnover is one of the most basic key performance indicators that you will track. Your accountant certainly is doing this for you. But with your accountant, you're normally seeing them once a quarter, once every half year or once a year. And you don't have you tend to be more reactive to what they have to say. It'd be very nice to be responsive to what's actually happening at the moment and see what the trends are. So making sure that you know what your monthly turnover is as a practice is crucial, very crucial, to make sure you're not slowly going behind. Otherwise, if you are going behind, the usual thing that happens that makes you think maybe I'm going behind is all of a sudden you don't have money in your account anymore to pay the usual bills. You go, why? And then you go to your accountant and you say, why? And he says, well, let's look at your figures. Oh, look at that. You've been on a downward, a downward stepping down of reaching targets for the last 8 months now. So, of course, you can't pay your bills now. So making sure that you are aware of what your monthly turnover should be, even better, put a target in place. What a target does, it just kind of helps align the planets, aim the universe towards what you would like. So it's nice to have a target in place. But at the very least, make sure that you are keeping an eye on the profit loss report from your bookkeeper, for example, every month, just to make sure that your expenses aren't spiking and that your income isn't dropping. Of course, there's always things that do influence the monthly turnover, such as Easter time. There's many, many public holidays within that period, such as closure over Christmas, obvious things like that. Gross invoices per provider. Now, the reason why I like to not just rely on the monthly turnover, but actually have a look at the invoices per provider, is it's an indication of if a, of we've got this turnover, that's beautiful and magnificent, but what makes up that? What's influencing that? And it's all the providers that are working underneath that. And so which providers are contributing what? It's not a game or a race or anything like that. It's just an awareness. It's an awareness. And so when you've got a provider that's consistently depleting down in their invoicing, but they remain steady in the booking hours, then we can ask why. I wonder why that person all of a sudden isn't billing out as much as they normally would. Let's look into that. And the reverse is true too. That other provider is going gangbusters compared to this time last year. What's going on? Let's try to understand that, and it will help us make good decisions for the business rolling forward. Daily rate per provider. So I then go, it's monthly turnover. And then from the monthly turnover, which dentists are responsible for it? And then for each dentist, what is their daily rate? Now, that's an important figure to know in case one of your providers is going to go on maternity leave or long service leave. All you have to do is go straight in, look at their daily rate and say, we need to make up that. That's how much our income is going to drop by every single month. So who do, is it high enough that we need to actually replace that person? We can't just go down a provider. Or is it so low because they're only coming in one half day a month anyway, it's not going to have a big impact. So the daily rate per provider helps you mitigate the losses you would incur if that person wasn't there for any period of time. The next one is hourly rate per provider. So we've gone from turnover, which providers are responsible for the turnover, each provider, what their daily rate is, but then what their hourly rate is. Now, this one is very important if you've got that culture of constant and never any improvement. The hourly rate per provider, a daily rate doesn't take into consideration downtime, FTAs, half day off because I did a course or went home sick with a headache, doesn't take into consideration those things. What I like to do for providers is say, of the time you were sitting in that surgery doing work, this is what your hourly rate is. While you're productive, this is what your hourly rate is. Now, that hourly rate is going to go up or down in response to how much work they get done in each appointment time. So if they're speeding up, maybe they're a new grad, now they're getting quicker, now their hourly rate's increasing. The daily rate wouldn't indicate that necessarily. The hourly rate will also indicate that dentist, your hourly rate's gone up because now you're doing Invisalign, now you're doing implants, now you're doing crown and bridge. So the hourly rate per provider does two things. If you're in an environment of constant and never any improvement, each provider wants to improve. And so you're giving them the raw data that indicates whether they're improving or not. The intention is that we stay the same or go up. What the other thing for the business owner that the hourly rate provides is, how's that person functioning? Do they need added support, added training, added mentorship, better communication skills with patients? Why have they suddenly dipped? Because it's not because of holidays or anything, because we're not counting that time. They're not dipping because of FTAs. We're not counting that time. We're just counting the time they're in the surgery productive. So that hourly rate per provider helps a business owner check in with that provider, make sure they're happy, supported, got a good environment around them. What if the minute you put in a new dental nurse with that provider, their hourly rate went up? Then you can say, is it because of your nurse? Because that was the timing. And they go, yeah, she's awesome. She's doing all, you know, she's helping me so much with my discussions with patients and she's so quick and blah, blah. So, okay, how can that nurse then help educate the other nurses on improving? Because we're in a constant, never-ending improvement environment. So the hourly rate provider is really key. Downtime. We must track downtime. And the reason why I say that, I'm going to get my little calculator here so I can show you. So let's just say we were working off with a dentist that was averaging $400 an hour in production. $400 divided by four. Oh, hang on. Sorry. What am I doing? $400 divided by four. Okay, so we've got a $100 earning per quarter hour. Let's just say that dentist lost quarter an hour every day they worked in a week. So that's times four. We'll go conservative. It's a 4 day a week dentist. And then the amount of weeks they're working, let's go 46 because there's 4 weeks annual leave plus a whole bunch of days off for public holidays. So then we go that four is times 46. That dentist by the end of the year with just losing 15 minutes a day lose $44,000. That's why we track downtime. So it's an incentive to restrict the downtime as much as we can. And again, this is a topic we'll be speaking about in a future live session, what we can do to prevent patients breaking their appointment times, because it does have an enormous impact on a business. If you had a practice of four practitioners and they were all losing that kind of money, that's a huge chunk. $44,000, that could pay for a steri nurse for everyone. $44,000, that could buy a whole new kit out of the staff room with a little dishwasher and plates that aren't chipped and a better sink. And oh, think of the things you could spend that would help raise the motivation of your team members. Think of the team training you could do for $44,000. Crikey. You're always going to have some downtime, but it's common for practice to say it's just 15 minutes. It's just half an hour. Don't stress. So there's time and space for that, but generally we want to try to restrict it as much as possible. New patients, of course, we want to always make sure I tick these off as we go. New patients, actually no, I won't because then you can't read them properly. We want to know how many new patients we're attracting. The intention is that we're providing such a wonderful environment and experience for patients that they can't not talk about it. And when people say to them, I need a new dentist, where should I go? That their immediate answer is, you must go to mine. I know they will look after you. That's the intention. So a growing number of new patients, a healthy number of new patients coming into the practice is an indication that you are doing the right thing in terms of the kind of experience you're providing your patients. New patient referral sources. This becomes pertinent when we're talking about marketing. Where are these new patients coming from? We've just started an SEO campaign and we've got 50 new patients this month and most of them came from the SEO campaign. Let's keep doing it. As opposed to, we just started Google Ads. We've spent $10,000 to date on Google Ads. We have only got $5,000 worth of business from Google Ads. The return on investment is too low. So we're going to stop it or modify how we do it. Patient retention. This is simply tracking patients, the rate at which they rebook, their recalls, and your advised treatment. You want to make sure you have got high patient retention. Again, it is an indication whether they're happy with your service, whether they're satisfied with the advice they're receiving, whether they have trust and faith in you. Consumables spend, always a good idea to have a budget for the consumables. It can blow out very quickly. I used to delegate this task to one of the assistants and we would have three tiers. So tier one, this is your, you know, $2,500 a month budget that you can spend on consumables. And then tier two are additional things such as instruments or brand new composite kits or something like that, where as long as you are under that $2,500, you're free to make those decisions, those calls yourself in communication with the other dentists and what they want. And then the third tier, which is wish list tier. So these are decisions that you can't make on your own. They're more costly. They're going to make us go over budget. So they're going to be added to a list. And that list is then discussed with the owner. And we either decide to go over budget and buy them or add a little bit to the budget every month, save up for it, then buy it in 3 months, something like that. But it requires the owner to have collaboration with that. Outstanding accounts, again, this can get out of hand if it's not tracked and traced. Just make sure, because the thing that I've seen in the past is that owners start to look at this figure going up and they say, there's a problem here, that figure's going up. But when they take into consideration, production's going up as well because we've got that new dentist here, so we've got more patients coming through. So it's actually not going up as in terms of percentage. It's just going up with dollar amount. So everything is normal, but we're just getting more patients through the door. Marketing expenses. And so this is how you track what your return on investment is. So you do the marketing expenses and the new patient referral sources together to determine what your return on investment is to decide whether you need to modify, keep going, or eliminate different marketing methods that you may have rolling out. New caller conversion. This is a key one. And I've got up the top here a new caller with email address document. And this is something that you just print out, have it at reception desk, and the receptionist starts filling it out. And as new callers call in, so they grab this form, they write down the patient's first name. Don't you love it when it doesn't load quickly? You note down the patient's first name, what their call was about. I just need to book a new patient checkup, or I'm interested in whitening, or I'm interested in implants, or ortho, or whatever. And you write down their email address, and their email address is crucial for information that I'll give you at a future live session about converting new callers into actual appointment times. And then you tick off whether that patient actually did book in or not. Now I'm gonna see if, there we go, it's slowly opening up. With this list, this new caller conversion list, we need to know all of our marketing efforts. These patients are calling in. Is that where it stops? If you're only getting a 20% new caller conversion rate, that dental receptionist needs to be better supported in terms of the amount of training they get, the amount of practice they're allowed to have, the amount of role play that's needed. So they need to be aware of the areas that need to be improved upon. And so when you've got this sort of thing and you've got they booked. Oh, these ones didn't book. Why didn't they book? Oh, all the ones that queried about implants didn't book in. We've got to do something different about how we describe implants over the phone. Let's discuss it as a group, brainstorm some ideas, role play it out, and then keep tracking and see if that's improving anything at all. This is an enormously useful thing. And getting their email address just is an absolute must, because you need to be able to provide them with added value via email if you can. And there's wonderful ways of doing that. So the new call conversion, again, crucial in terms of your marketing efforts and making sure that you're properly supporting your receptionist with team with training. And the last one is treatment plan acceptance rate. And this is all about the dentist and their experience that they're providing in terms of engaging the patient in their old conditions and their treatments that have been advised. And we spoke one of the last live sessions about the way of tracking. You print out your day sheet. Elle, I know that you do this, which is ridiculously awesome, but you print out your day sheet every day as a dentist. You use a red pen and you tick all the patients that you recommended treatment to. We're not talking about recalls, actual treatment, ongoing treatment that needs to be done sooner rather than later. And then at the end of the day, check in with each of those patients in the appointment book. Did they book in? The ones that booked in, get a circle. The ones that didn't, remain uncircled. And then you just simply count up what your booking rate is. Again, it's a wonderful way of constant and never-ending improvement in order for that practitioner to know where their areas of improvement lie and how they can, and then to determine how they improve, they say to other practitioners, what's your treatment plan acceptance rate? Ah, oh, it's 85%. You need to tell me what you do because I need to improve from my 20%. There's a little guide there as well on that download that will possibly be helpful to you as well. So these are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 key performance indicators that I suggest. And the way I suggest you track them so it makes sense and it's easy to read is by doing an Excel document. And these are the ones that I always use. I've used them. I used to do it back in Dendy days. I did it every year that I owned Dendy with all the practitioners. And I still use the same template because it works for me because it's familiar, but it obviously works for the other practitioners as well. Your accountants will find this wonderful to read as well. I've been a part of many financial meetings where the accountant, just from their assessment with their accounting eyes over it, they can start identifying areas for potential growth as well. And so we've got each of the providers listed here, each of the months up the top there. I know it's a little bit of a small thing. Let me see if I can make it bigger for you. Gross accounts, days worked, hours worked, average per day, hourly rate, downtime, leave. I always put leave in there as an explanation of why the income can go up and down. Oh, that's right. It's gone down because this person's on maternity leave. New patients, consumables, advertising, patient retention rate, and accounts outstanding. If you think that is something that you would like to start incorporating into your practice, I have established doing session, Excel for tracking KPIs. Register here. So there it is there. It's also over under the video tutorial section. Doing session for Excel to track your KPIs. It is happening Tuesday next week, 1 o'clock Melbourne time. So that'll be 11 o'clock WA time for UL. And that's where I'll be taking you through step by step how to create an Excel document with all of those KPIs, establishing it with the little formulas. And so you don't have to then work out the hourly rate or the daily rate yourself. It happens automatically. Once you put in one figure, it adjusts all the others. So hopefully you will find that easy enough to follow. And but we'll be spending a good hour on that. It will be recorded and the recording will be added to this during session, just as in previous during sessions such as Google and Trello. 3:02, the time is not too bad. Let's tick this off as no longer top priority because we've done it. We've completed this one. We've ticked off the final KPI. We've done everything. Yes, we have. I can drag this over to there. The next live session is Wednesday and I have nothing there at the moment. Woohoo! So if you have anything that you would like to add to that, please let me know. But I will be adding in one of the things that I've discussed today. Maybe their new caller conversion. Or what was the other thing? There was another thing. Oh, that's right, scheduling for high productivity and low stress. So it'll be something like that. I thought I had placed something somewhere. Who knows? But it's open for other ideas as well. I look forward to you having a look at the Canva for video for patients in case you are interested in developing your own video at your practice. So the how-to will be up there by the end of the day today. And I will look forward to seeing those who want to participate in the doing session for Excel. I'll see you on Tuesday. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing everybody else. Let me just see a little question there. We use it for tracking which patients rebooked their active maintenance as well. That's the day sheet tracking, Elle. That's fantastic. Great idea. So Elle, in her practice, not just tracking treatment that's been suggested and which have been accepted and booked in for, but also the active maintenance, which ones are actually rebooking for that, because the rebooking for sure, pre-booking those active maintenance are not forward booking. Active maintenance is a very effective way of making sure you don't have a long list of people you're trying to re-engage into their recall program. That's excellent. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And I look forward to seeing you all on either Tuesday or Wednesday. See you later.